Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Glad to be in studio. As always, our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Terry, listening in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Hank. Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
I've got a son-in-law who's an atheist. He believes in evolution. I've been talking to him, you know, with gentleness and respect, you know, as Peter says, and as you often say, trying to share with him my faith and the illogic approach that Dawkins and Darwin took in their work, and have not had any success. And I was wondering, I heard about this film from Illustria Media called Origin. Is that something that would be good for a person who is a true atheist and just has no real knowledge of the Bible?
I think it'd be fantastic, because one of the things that Origin does is it speaks without preaching. In other words, just watching the film, you intuitively recognize that there is no other explanation for the complexity of life other than a designer. And if you follow truth wherever it leads, that truth will inevitably lead you in the direction of an uncaused first cause, as opposed to the untenable notion that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life creates metaphysical realities like ethos or mores, or even sex, which is not only physical but metaphysical as well.
Right. And I think something that's not preachy and that approaches it from a scientific perspective may be something he might listen to. Because, you know, I've tried the preaching part of it, and that's just not made any impact. So maybe this kind of approach will be a big help.
Well, I think it's a fantastic help, and there are a lot of people that have watched these films from Illustria Media and seen the tapestry of life and recognized intuitively there's something going on here that cannot be explained by simple chance, can't be explained by the kind of, well, outlandish ideas that are being proposed, like directed or undirected panspermia. The answers that are given today are simply unsatisfying. And I think that as you watch this film, and it's only about 48 minutes, you watch this film, that becomes apparent. But it doesn't become apparent because you're pushing an agenda, but you're actually just looking at complexity and recognizing there is no way that this just happened.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you, man.
Thank you very much, and God bless you. You know, I think so often about what it takes to believe that hippo-like animals evolved into whales. It takes such an enormous leap of faith, and yet so many have taken that leap of faith uncritically, without really considering the leap they've taken. Simply put, extant fossil transitions are scant. And as such, belief in the evolutionary development of physiological wonders like blowholes, sonar, diving mechanisms, it takes a commendable amount of Darwinian devotion, devotion that no one should have, because it is not in concert with facts. It is against the tide of evidence. molecular evidence, for example, appears to be at odds with fossil evidence. Fossil similarities point to hippos as first cousins of pigs. Molecular similarities position hippos as first cousins to whales. But in either case, it takes substantial faith to suppose that those similarities provide an adequate basis for neo-Darwinianism. The notion that unguided, purposeless processes could transform the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling saltwater whale, and that in a mere matter of 10 million years, takes more faith than anyone on the planet should be able to muster. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Peter in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Peter.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've been listening to you now for like 2 years. I came up from Africa.
Ah, what part of Africa?
Nigeria.
Oh, Nigeria.
Yeah, I live in Nigeria. I also studied at state in South Africa.
Huh.
Cape Town, yeah.
Well, I've spoken in Cape Town a number of times, and Durban, and Johannesburg, and actually speak Afrikaans.
Oh, Afrikaans. Goeiemôre.
Yeah, kan je verstaan.
Okay. That's about what I can say in Afrikaans. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for all you do. I have a situation here. I came out here like 12 years ago, been back and forth, but my wife divorced me, and I listened to you, and I know what you normally will say about reconciliation and all of that. Now, I was just preparing to see how I could settle down after 8 years, and a group of pastors came from her church that began to talk to me about reconciliation and all of that, and it's difficult for me, you know, and to my knowledge, she's like gone out with two people that I know, and I made my own mistakes too here and there, and I get to know more about you and more about things of God and be serious about God, but now I don't know how to go about the reconciliation they're talking about, and that's the reason for my call specifically.
Sure.
You know, that.
Yeah, Peter, here's the thing, and I think it's beautiful the way you've expressed yourself. The issue for you and I or anyone else in interpersonal relationships is always the word willing. We need to be willing to reconcile, but we also need to be pragmatic or practical about these things because it always takes two for reconciliation to take place. It takes someone who is willing to forgive, and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. Without both in the equation, reconciliation doesn't happen. Your responsibility as a Christian man is to be willing to reconcile. And the reason we're willing to reconcile is simply we look at what we have been forgiven, and then the debts of others start to look small by way of comparison. Now, again, you can't force the reconciliation. Only if her heart is open can reconciliation take place. And when that takes place, there's something that is beautiful in terms of testimony to the world. The world sees the marriage as a microcosm of Christ and his bride, the church. Christ loved his bride and gave himself up for his bride. And so we as well must do that for our loved ones. So as long as you have, Peter, a heart that is willing to reconcile, you have done your part. Now the rest is up to the Holy Spirit. If your estranged wife ends up being in a situation where she closes the door to reconciliation, then 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that you're not bound in that circumstance. But if the door for reconciliation is open, your heart, or at least you ought to pray for a willing heart that the Lord would make that a reality, because he can give you a love that is far greater than you can imagine, a love that is not based on flimsy feelings, but rather a love that is grounded foundationally in what is called commitment?
Wow. Thank you very much. But my situation here is I decided to stay here in Canada to help with the kids. You know, I didn't go into any union like having a girlfriend or so, but she did have two guys that I'm aware of and some structures on people that have helped her to take that route, you know. But now they're coming to ask me if I would take her back, if I could reconcile without forgiving her. You know, she's a nice person. We have 6 kids together. But for me, you know, like, how am I sure, like it's true, it's genuine? What should I do to, you know, like, I don't want to get hurt again. It's
right.
Very difficult.
You know, here's the thing, and I'm very, very sorry that I can't continue the conversation, only as you can probably hear from the music, I'm coming up to a hard break, and it is heartbreaking for me in these kinds of circumstances not to do everything that I possibly can for you. But recognize that I'm an electronic voice, and I'm pointing you to a healthy, well-balanced church where people can give you wise and substantial counsel. I'm going to be back in just a few moments. Peter, my prayers will be with you.
Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Catherine, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Catherine.
Oh, hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
My question is, do you know any evolutionary atheists who have come to believe in God without coming to faith in Jesus?
Well, yes.
You see, I think that we're looking deeper into darkness, right? We've been doing this debate for millennia, and I mean, the heavens do manifest his glory, but it seems that people don't see that until they actually come to faith.
Well, you know, people come to faith in different ways. God, through the wooing of the Holy Spirit, makes himself manifest, and we have the opportunity to reject or respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. But certainly there are those that believe that there is a God without believing that Jesus Christ is God. In fact, in my own conversion process, I first looked at the evidences that God exists. I then looked at the evidences for Jesus being God. And of course, the greatest evidence of that is the immutable fact of resurrection, that Jesus Christ had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he's God in human flesh. There are many other convincing proofs, but that is the apex of all proofs for the deity of Jesus Christ. And then you look at whether the Bible is a reliable authority for faith and practice. So there is a transition that happens in the lives of many people where they go from believing that there has to be an uncaused first cause, recognizing Christ as the uncaused first cause, and the Bible as a reliable source for faith and practice. Now, having said that, there are many people that come to faith in Christ without going through that process. But inevitably, all of us need to recognize that we have been left not with blind faith, but faith in irrefutable fact, so that our faith is not just an odd predilection on our part, or we choose to believe in Jesus Christ as opposed to believing in Buddha or Lao Tzu or some other religious leader. We believe in Jesus Christ because the evidence points to him as the only one who can reconcile God and man, because he is, in fact, the God-man.
Hmm. Well, I agree with you. I think that if there is an issue on, you know, design and whether there's intelligent design and whether scientists will believe or not believe or atheists believe or not believe, I guess it's ultimately God's domain.
Well, it is God's domain, but he has condescended to use human agency in the process.
Right.
So we have to do our part.
I just wonder, I mean, the spirit of prophecy, right? Our testimony is the spirit of prophecy. And so it seems that if believers testify, and obviously they're testifying as to their faith in Jesus, right, and the kingdom of God, then, you know, if they're testifying to atheists or to evolutionists or to anyone, then it's that God uses. I view it as a negative, right? If they get turned away by the atheist or the scientist and they don't want to believe, God uses that negative and he brings that person to some form of understanding. It's a process, and you know, all of us go through it throughout our life before we come to faith, it seems to me. But I just thought if people were to witness more to atheists. I know there was the earlier caller though that said he had talked to his brother-in-law ad nauseum and his brother would not come to faith, and if he listened to Origen, would it help him? So
here's the deal, and I appreciate you bringing this out as you have. The issue always for me is that we are equipped, that we are always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. So I have not the burden of converting anyone. That is the province of the Holy Spirit. My responsibility is to be a useful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. In other words, testify not only by my lips, by what I know or what I say, but testify by my love and by my lips. So that's my responsibility. Ultimately, the responsibility of the Holy Spirit is to change the heart. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Andy, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Hey, Hank. I've been listening to you for a long time, and my brother got on your show a long time ago when he first got saved, and here I am. That was 20-something years ago.
Wow.
But I have a question for you that actually I debated with him. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And I was wondering about the people that never heard the word, say like the Aztec or the Native Americans. You know, they lived their life and they never heard the word. And, you know, my brother seemed to think that, well, they're just lost souls. Can you help me out with that?
Well, yeah, there are a couple of things I like to say in this regard, beginning with what Paul said on Mars Hill. I think it really answers the question when he says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, how can he say that? Well, he can say that because no matter where you live, whether you're an Aztec or otherwise, wherever you live, you have the light of creation. Not only that, but God has also designed to put a knowledge of himself upon the canvas of our consciousness. In other words, his knowledge is written in our DNA. So we have a light from without, the light of creation, and a light from within. And if we respond to that light, the promise of Romans chapter 3 is that God will give us more light. In fact, this is precisely what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. He said that light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, which is to say, even with the light of Christ, men reject that light, not because the light is not brilliant and compelling, but rather because they want to remain in darkness. So as I like to say, it's never the absence of truth that damns, it's always the despising of truth that damns. And no one said this better than Blaise Pascal when he said that God dwells in enough obscurity so that if you do not want to find him, you won't. But he dwells in enough light so those who want to find him will. So the real problem is not a lack of light. The real problem is we are justly and condignly condemned because of our sin. The real question is not how God can send someone to hell, but how God can condescend to save any one of us. And he has done just that. He's revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself on the canvas of our consciousness, and he's revealed himself in Christ. And therefore, when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and every people and nation, we will not be able to say we did not have light. God's not throwing obstacles in our path. He's doing all so that those who really do want to find him will indeed find him.
Even those that never heard the word, never even heard of Christ.
But what I'm pointing out is that that is a bit of a misnomer. Again, if you're someone who is an Aztec, as you described in the prologue to your question, and you see the universe around you, you can do one of two things. You can start worshiping that universe or recognize that that universe was created by an uncaused first cause. Now, that does not take genius. That just takes common sense. Your first inclination, if you find something that is designed, even if you're on a desert island, is to recognize that design presupposes a designer. You look at the universe, and the Aztecs had a big benefit from people that live today. They didn't have light pollution. So when you look up at the glory of the heavens, which we now know that perhaps the original estimate of 170 billion galaxies may be very, very small. There are now indications that there might be as many as 2 trillion galaxies. But when you look at the heavens, what David said rings true. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth, even to the Aztecs. So if you're an Aztec, you have the light of creation. If you're an Aztec, you have the knowledge of God written upon the canvas of your consciousness. Now, if you respond to that light, you will receive more light. The real issue is, are you responding after light? If someone is sincerely seeking after light or seeking after the one who created, God is not going to hold him up on some kind of a technicality. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more answers to your questions.
Thank you for joining us today. If the Christian Research Institute has blessed you this year, please help us bring more of those blessings to you and many others in the new year. Give a tax-deductible, special year-end gift within the month of December. Because the Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you, your gift truly matters. To partner with us in ministry, call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.